Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
There is a story for everyone here, because every story matters. Welcome everyone to the Storybox. This is the place to be if you are a lover of stories, learning new and interesting things, and if you want to grow abundantly. My name is Jay Phantom, and I believe it's my purpose to help you realize your worth and become the greatest and best version of you possible. I am grateful that you're here today. Now let's journey into the story box together and hear more about whose story will be unboxed today. My next guest story is nothing short of inspirational. He went from being homeless and living in a shelter to becoming a world-renowned celebrity tailor. Now, he's adorned the likes of people such as John Legend, Billy Porter, Dwayne Wade, Gabrielle Union, Lena Waithe, Blake Griffin, Rick Ross, Chrissy Teigen, LeBron James, J-Lo, LL Cool J, Michael B. Jordan, Justin Bieber, Doja Cat, Tracy Ellis Ross, and many, many more. Now, his name is Patrick Henry, but he goes by professionally, that is, as Fresh. Now, Fresh is the founder and creative director of LA-based luxury fashion label Rich Fresh, which was established in 2018. Rich Fresh has quickly skyrocketed to being the beloved brand of Hollywood directors, actors, and athletes. At the age of just 21, shortly after dropping out of college, Fresh opened up a tailoring shop in one of the art districts of downtown Memphis. Struggling to realize his potential in Memphis, he moved to New York City to further pursue tailoring. After the market crash, Fresh left New York and moved to LA in 2013 to work for Zenga. Now, during his time at Zenga, he became the preferred associate for many high-profile clients, due to his unique aesthetic and standout personality. Fresh then made the move to LA, where hard times struck, unfortunately for him. And by the end of 2017, Fresh was homeless and living in a shelter. But with sheer grit, determination, and brilliance, Fresh branched into making his own designs and cleverly branded himself as a celebrity tailor without even having any celebrity clients. His work, though, spoke for itself, and many A-listers quickly pounced on the chance to have bespoke suits created by Fresh. He's also, during COVID, created Henry Mask, which once again has been adorned by many, many high-profile celebrities, LeBron James, J-Lo, you know, the list goes on and on and on. It is absolutely crazy. But how he got here, the story of it is honestly nothing short of inspirational, and I think you guys are going to love it. But if you do get something from it, share it around. Share it to your friends and family, let everyone know. Don't forget, you can also leave a rating and review over on Apple Podcasts and subscribe. The full YouTube video is available too, so go and look at that if you want to. It's pretty cool. I won't say why, but just go and watch it, and you'll thank me later. But apart from that, my friends, that's enough from me. So you know what time it is. It is time to get fresh, because we're going to dive into this story box today and listen to the inspirational story of none other than Rich Fresh.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you here, man. Do you ever pinch yourself sometimes, like at the amount of names that you got on here?
No, people ask me that all the time. I think before, if I had known that this is like what my client roster would look like, I probably would have pinched myself then. But it's weird, like when you're in it, it's just normal. You know, it's just like, this is my job. You know, these are certain people that have very particular needs, and, you know, some are not necessarily the easiest to work with, but I'm in that space where I'm the guy that they know can satisfy their need. So for me, it's just work. it is kind of cool. Like, you know, I don't know. It doesn't sit on me that I have these big moments. You know, it's just like business as usual. Okay, what's the next job? What are we doing next? It's kind of how it's been so far. It's because it's happened so fast, I guess.
Yeah, man. In 2018, it all established, but I can imagine that it's been this long progression, like for you trying to get to this point, which I'm excited to dive into in just a moment. But the first question that I really want to ask you that's going to get this conversation moving forward is, what does success look like for you?
It's a good question. Success looks like a 7-letter word. I've been talking to my daughter a lot about it lately. The word is freedom. Success equals freedom. A lot of people correlate success with money. They think, you know, if you got the money, if you got the bag, you got the cars, you got the girl, you got the crib, you got the jewels, you got the shit, you're successful. But don't know, there's a lot of people who have all those things I just named. They don't have a sense of self. They may lack security. They're not tight with their family. They're not loved. You know, they might be cautious and wary of everyone around them. So like, that's not success. It's a lot of people who chase the money and they miss the success part of it. Like, what do you gain from getting all the money? You're supposed to gain some freedom. You know, you're supposed to be able to move in a certain way and exist freely. So for me, that's the goal. It's to get the money, but not just to get the money, but to provide a sense of freedom for myself and for my family, where we just don't have to worry about certain shit.
When was the moment for you, Fresh, that you realized that this was success for you? It's creating this freedom for yourself and for your family. Has it been this catalyst moment for you, or is there this gradual thing over time?
I think it's been a gradual thing. Like, I've always been absorbed and consumed with that idea. You know, I've always been super entrepreneurial. I've always wanted to start businesses with my brothers. So for me, I've always had that mindset, like, you know, we can do some things and gain more and more freedom. And, you know, just after things went left and took a real bad turn, that I got things back going, that it really sunk in. It's like, okay, I'm doing well. I feel successful, but what does success really look like? What are my loved ones looking like? What does their life look like? Because if their life doesn't look optimal, then I'm not quite as successful as I think I am. So that started right around 2018. And, you know, God is great. Like, you know, was able to move my mom out here. And so, you know, she's able to retire and she, you know, living comfortably. As far as I know, she has a lot of freedom. You know, my brother and I started a company. I was able to, you know, provide a job opportunity for him and take him away from an industry where he didn't have the level of freedom he needed. And then just him being here and being in a different space and breathing different air and just having different opportunities, he was in the proper mindset. When the pandemic hit, he and I were able to form Henry Mask. And now my youngest brother is our sales director for Henry Mask. So that's what it looks like. It looks like creating something that provides opportunities that will continue to provide those opportunities.
I want to go to, you mentioned there that you were in a very dark, dark spot. Right. Can you share the story behind that? What was going on and how did you end up there?
Yeah. The dark spot that people know about wasn't even the first one. It was the last one. It was like the, oh shit, I can never do this again. But you know, I moved to Los Angeles with no money. I didn't know anybody. You know, I was leaving San Diego. San Diego just didn't pan out. Failed business attempts after attempt. I just figured, you know what? If I'm gonna fail, let me try failing in a big city. Let's go to Los Angeles. So came here with nothing. Slept on a guy's futon for the first year and a half. It's a random cat I just met at the mall. And then after that, you know, just bouncing around, you know, I I think the first time that I like experienced what is like legit homelessness, which, you know, I don't knock anybody, you know, uncomfortable is uncomfortable. A lot of people, you know, you'll hear their stories and they'll say, man, I was in LA and I was homeless for 2 years. And then they go deeper into this story and they say they were couch surfing on their cousin's couch. That to me is not homeless. That to me means you're in someone else's home. That's not homeless. Yeah. It wasn't your home, but you was in someone's home. But, you know, this shit was rough. It was like, you know, I slept in storage units. I slept in a storage unit for like 3 months. A guy that works for me now, he didn't know it, but, you know, I had a key to his office. I slept in his office for 4 months in an office chair, you know. And then, you know, right when things were looking up, you know, things were finally getting up and things were moving smooth in 2017. And I was finally getting a little bit of money. And I had a client, a really rich client in Calabasas, who he ran off and stole like, you know, $15,000 worth of clothes and just didn't pay me. But I used all my money to make his clothes. So I learned a valuable life lesson, but I didn't have any more money. And I looked up and it's very expensive in Los Angeles to live. And if you don't have any money and you don't have anyone who's looking out for you, things can get rough. And I reached out to, you know, some friends and whatnot, thinking, you know, I've been here for a few years. I know some people who look out for me. And no one looked out for me. Everyone was like, oh, no, man, I really can't help you. I was like, damn, dude, I just need a couch to crash on. So, you know, you look up and you're in it's like, shit, the only option is a shelter on the streets. And slept on the streets a couple nights. And that shit was not fun. It was cold. It was wintertime. That shit sucked. So it was a shelter. And it was a dark time because, you know, when something like that happens, like no one, you know, I mean, I was, and the other issue is like, you know, I had some issues that I hadn't resolved, you know, I had some alcoholic shit. I would drink first thing in the morning. I drink all day. I drink for no reason. I drink by myself. Coke. I do Coke by myself. I spend all day. Give me some Coke. I'm gonna do Coke all day by myself. You know, so I just had some shit that I hadn't dealt with and it was ruining my, like one step forward, two steps back. It was that type of thing. So you're exhausted from moving forward, but these things are pulling you back. And you know, you're in this circumstance and you're like, how the fuck did I end up here? This is not fair. I shouldn't be here. This is for junkies and bums and addicts. I shouldn't be here. I'm good looking. I'm young. I'm talented. And I think I spent 2 months in that state, you know, of like really being mad at everyone, blaming everyone, blaming the guy that ripped me off, blaming my friends that didn't help me out, blaming my family for not being rich. You know what I'm saying? Because if they were rich, I wouldn't have been in this. I got a call, someone gave me money. But like, just blaming everyone. And then one day I just had this epiphany moment, you know, it's like this moment with God. And it just dawned on me that it was all my fault. You know, it was all on me. Even though other people had helped and they contributed, it was my show. I'm the executive producer. I determined that at this point in the show, I was supposed to be here. And I got here. And now it sucks. So, and like taking that power and really owning this shit, I wasn't angry anymore. Like after that moment, it was like, oh shit. Huh, I guess I did land myself here. Mm-hmm. I did type in Homelessville in my GPS and damn it, this is Homelessville. you know, poor business habits, bad personal habits. That's what'll get you, Jack.
Yeah.
And, you know, some very special things happened in that shelter. You know, I had some special dreams. It showed me like a future. And I just committed to it, to like changing the way I thought about things, changing, you know, stop blaming people, blame myself for everything. If I blame myself, I can fix it. If I blame someone else, I'm helpless. And that mindset got me out of there. I was, you know, out of the shelter maybe a month later with a renewed mindset. I stopped drinking. I stopped doing, you know, drugs and shit. I mean, I smoke weed, but I stopped. you know, I went vegan. I just changed the way I was wired. And I got a whole new world of experiences as a result. So
So those dreams that you were having in that homeless village or whatever you were saying, did they match up to where you are right now with what you're doing?
Correct.
That's insane, man. And for those people that don't know, how old are you?
41.
You're 41?
Mm-hmm.
Man. So what age were you when this was all happening to you?
38. Yeah, I mean, this just happened. Like, it was just before my 38th birthday. You know, like, I've been tailoring since I was 19. So I've been on this quest my whole life. But, you know, I didn't go to school for it. I didn't go to business school, so I didn't learn how to do business. I just had to figure shit out. I didn't really have any mentors, so I just had to figure shit out.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time, almost 20 years. And, I was 37. And, you know, once I got the epiphany, I just talked to God a whole lot. And I was assured that I wouldn't be in there by my birthday, that I would be in a different place and I'd be on my way to where I was supposed to be going by my birthday. And sure enough, by the 20, you know, my birthday's in January, it's the end of January. So by my birthday, I was in an Airbnb. You know, it was a shitty Airbnb, but there was no one laying next to me on the floor sleeping, you know what I mean? And then from there, I just progressed to a better Airbnb. And then, you know, I figured let's go for it. Let's do it for real. And I started, I started doing these fascinating, if you got a few minutes, I'll tell you about this thing I did that kind of got me going. You know, it really jump-started things. So, you know, like I'm maybe a month out of the shelter now, right? It's February. I don't really have any money. I got, you know, a few $100. But, you know, I have an idea. I'm going to start a luxury brand. You know, I had the idea to start a luxury brand in a shelter with no money. And so I get out and I'm like, I'm going to start this luxury brand. And I start spending whatever little money I had to make the coolest shit ever. Like pants usually. And I'd post it on the gram and people would respond. And every now and then someone would say, yo, I got to have some. I was like, cool. It's a 2-pant minimum. So that started people like spending more money than they ever used to spending. Like, damn, you charge $800 for some pants? Yep. Mm. Man. Okay. Boom. So now I'm in this space. I'm doing this thing. Then I designed these track pants that just changed my whole life. And all of a sudden, you know, a little bit of money's coming in, but it's nothing crazy. So I moved to this a nicer Airbnb and it had a rooftop. So every morning I would go out, smoke a joint on this rooftop and I would just talk to God, just like a person. Like, what's happening? What's up? How are you? It's me again, but you already knew that. And, you know, we would just talk. And, you know, I'd say, look, thank you so much for all the stuff you did. I really appreciate it. I'm so glad that, you know, you changed my mind about things and understand life so much better. And I would just talk. And then at the end of it, I had the audacity to say, however, I want more. This isn't enough. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it, but I want more. I'm worth more. And if I don't ask for more, I'm not going to get more. So I demand more, you know, because it's not even like a matter of asking. I don't have to ask. Like, you have it and I want it. So I want more. So give it to me. You know what I'm saying? And, I remember something told me that in order to get things you haven't gotten, you have to give up things, you know what I'm saying, that you haven't given up. And so that's when I really committed to like, okay, I won't drink anymore. I won't, you know, do any drugs and I won't eat meat. And I made an actual, like I said, hey, I want to make $14,000 this month. And then 30 days of just doing what I was doing, just regular shit. I wasn't doing anything different than what I was doing. Taking photos, posting on the gram, chill. I don't make phone calls. I've never cold called. I've never gone into an office building, passing out cards. I just take photos of my shit. I put it on the gram and I wait. And I made exactly $14,000 that the next month. I was like, what the fuck? Okay, all right, this is cool. I was like, All right. So I went back and I was like, yo, this is really cool. It's trippy. So I did it again. I asked for 40,000 this time.
Oh.
And then this time, you know, I ended up going celibate. I was like, okay, what else I got to give up? It's like that other thing that you should have gave up. Cause I was a little slut puppy. and so, you know, I just had to shift gears. So I gave that up. And again, went right back to doing normal shit. None different. Mm. I made $40,000 that month. I was like, what the fuck? So I'm like, okay, this is trippy. This can't be a mistake. This happened twice. Okay, let's do this again. And I asked for 100,000. I was like, I want 100,000. I wasn't very specific, but I said, I want 100,000. I committed to going celibate for 4 months. So I asked for 100,000 that next month. And, you know, I remember God, you know, the universe was like, cool, just stay the course. Just stay the course, it'll happen. So I just kept working, just doing my thing. And 1, 2, 3 months passed. Each of these months, you know, I'm doing okay. I'm doing 50,000, 55, maybe 60, you know. And just so happens, the final month, I was counting down the days because, you know, it's the end of my celibacy and I had something, I had some ideas.
You want to pop? You're bursting.
I just want to dip my toe in one more good time. So, you know, when the day came, his voice came to me. He was like, you know, you should tally up your numbers. You should see what your sales were this month. And I had done $101,100 that month. And this is 6 months after leaving the shelter. I did $100,000. I left the shelter with $300. That's all the money I had. No investors, no loan, just hustle. Fly shit and like God. And after that, it just life changed. Like after that, I was just like, okay, I understand what this is now. You know, and I was just very vocal with like sharing my story. And you know, the more I share, the more real I am, you know, things, magical things happen, you know. I found out that the factory that was making my clothes was going up for sale. And I was like, oh shit, I gotta have it. Cause I should have it. If anyone should have the factory, it should be me. No one else should own that factory. I should own the factory. And it made no sense. I never owned a factory. I just started getting money. I was just in the shelter. But a year after leaving the shelter, I owned the factory that made my clothes. You know what I mean? And a year after that, my brother and I started Henry. You know, so it's like, there are all these different jumps. And I'm one of those God freaks is always talking about God being awesome. Because there's just no other way to describe any of this.
Mm. So. I want to ask you a question revolving around. So God has, I have no doubt, given you all this. So what would you do if, it's a hypothetical one, but what would you do if everything was taken away from you right now?
I get it right back. Are you kidding me?
Would it be the same process though?
No. Oh my God. Expedited.
Mm.
Yeah. Like I've already got the thing now. Like the reason I didn't have the, and I'm never worried about losing anything because I can't lose anything. Like it's cerebral. No, these are just extensions of me. I'm just a badass motherfucker.
Mm.
And everything I do is just, that's just what it is. So it doesn't matter what I do. I'm confident that it'll succeed. And, you know, I'm smart enough to know how to position things in the market, make things profitable. And I'm also confident that I can snap my fingers and recreate anything or just succeed in any area. I just find something and fixate on it, focus on it, and develop a product that'll change it.
Mm. So what do you think makes a good fashion designer like yourself as opposed to a great one?
That's a nice question. So this is my fashion background. I've read two fashion books in my entire life. And I read them both when I was 13. I read Biography of Ralph Lauren and Biography of Calvin Klein. I read both of those when I was 13. And I said, I want to do that one day. I've never read a fashion book. I've never seen a fashion book or just read anything at Barnes and Nobles that pertain to fashion. So for me, good designers are people who just have great taste, pay attention to detail, and they just create products that actually work. They mean something. You know, a lot of people just design unnecessary shit. Like, it doesn't serve any purpose. Why did you even do that? You know, yeah, it's funky. No one's ever seen it. But what purpose does it serve? I think when you can combine, like, you know, a nice aesthetic with being purposeful and serving a purpose, I think that's when people say, wow, that's a great design. It not only looks good, it is good. It works. It does something. It solves a problem. You know, like, I think our masks, I think we should win an award for our masks. As simple as they are, it's the simplicity of the concept. It solves such a huge problem. And the aesthetic is so on point and consistent. You know, that to me is good design.
Is there a specific design that you are extremely proud of as opposed to all the others? Or are you proud of them all?
My proudest design is the Henry mask, hands down. My second proudest would have to be my tracksuits. Because it just came at a time where, again, I don't design things with other people in mind. I'm very picky. I design things with myself in mind. If I like it, I'm sure everyone's going to love it. But if I don't like it, I don't give a shit. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to touch it. I definitely don't want to put my name on it. So I did the tracksuits just because I needed something else to wear when I wasn't wearing a suit. And I'm not a slouchy type of guy. And I just created something out of neoprene that was like an inferior fabric. No one messed with neoprene. And it turned into something. It's changed the entire landscape of fashion. There's no luxury brand right now in fashion that does not now have a luxury tracksuit. 2 years ago, they didn't. You know what I'm saying? Like, custom tailors, now they're making tracksuits. A few years ago, they didn't do that. But it's just that thing changed. It changed the game. It was really cool. So I'm very proud of that. Those are, you know, and I design beautiful bags, which I think I have to give the bags credit, because the bags are what gave me the confidence to come to the West Coast. I said, my bags are so nice. I could be a bag designer. I could be a bag designer in Los Angeles. I think they would love my stuff. I'm going to move out there and give it a shot. I didn't plan on doing clothes. I had no desire to do clothing. I wanted to do bags because I'm a straight guy. And like, a straight guy who's good looking in Los Angeles who's a bag designer, oh my God, he's going to eat up. You know what I'm saying? Because he's an anomaly, yeah. You know? And I dress real nice, but, you know, it was destined to move in a different direction. I'm glad I did. I've got some really cool bags. So I think those are the three things. Henry mask, tracksuit, and my bags.
I like it, man. What would you say has been the worst piece of advice you've ever received?
The reason that I stuck to tailoring is because of some bad advice that I received. When I was 19, you know, I was a college dropout. I was broke. And I just got fired from a job. So rather than get another job, you know, my ex-wife was like, you know, but we were just dating, and she was like, why don't you just, you know, find what you want to do and stick to it. So I was like, all right, cool. And I decided I wanted to do fashion, or, you know, tailoring. Yeah, I want to do tailoring. I want to do alterations. I could be really good at that. And so I went to a tailor in town that people were recommending. It's an older guy. And I went to him, this young, bright-eyed kid who could sew. I mean, I could sew. I taught myself how. and I was good and I could learn anything. And I told him I wanted to be a tailor. I was fascinated with tailoring. I wanted to be a tailor. And I wanted to apprentice. I wanted to just work for him, free, sweep the floors, whatever. I just want to learn how to do this. And he said, no way, kid. No way, kid. I'm not going to teach you how to tailor. Mm. Why don't you go do computers? That's what all the kids are doing nowadays. Why don't you go do computers? I said, I don't want to do computers. I want to tailor. Like I want to do fashion. I'm obsessed with fashion. I think this is a path and I think I'm really good at this. And he said, you'll always be broke being a tailor. You'll never get rich being a tailor. You'll never make $1 million being a tailor. Go do the computer stuff like these other kids. And he put me out of his shop. I was so pissed off because I don't like being told what I can't do. Mm. You know, I think I'm very capable. And so if someone tells me I can't do something and I wanted to do it, well, now I'm really going to do it. And I'm going to do it a few times. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take pictures. And I'm going to send it to you. Mm. So that like kept me on this quest of like, I'm going to figure this shit out until I make some real deal money. I'm not going to be average or mediocre. I'm going to make some real money. Taylor.
I like that story, man. It's a pretty cool story because I feel like I've had a similar one in my own life, but with real estate. So my boss actually told me, it's this weird saying. He goes, don't waste your time on a dead duck. He said, put your time in something that is actually going to sell. Whereas if I spend all my time trying to sell this property that wasn't in his eyes going to sell, then I'd just be wasting my time. But if I had given up, then the property wouldn't have sold. I ended up selling it and it ended up being like one of the biggest sales of my time there, I guess you could say. And then it gave way to amazing relationships with incredible people. So, I mean, bad advice ended up being good advice in the end for me.
Yeah, you know, because we're rebels. You know, like we're not conformists. If you were a conformist, you wouldn't be doing this podcast. You'd be sitting in front of a TV somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to do what everyone else does. Don't tell me what I can't do. I think I can do great shit. Mm. It's up to me to do that shit. It's not up to you to tell me whether or not. So I applaud you for doing the same thing.
Thanks, man. And I think like you brought up an interesting topic, which is rejection and how you've been able to handle rejection in your own life. Is there any advice that you could give to someone that is going through a ton of rejection right now?
Yeah. You know, there's different types of rejection. So obviously, but like the two big ones is personal rejection, like, you know, that thing where like, oh, this person who I'm, you know, interested in, whatever. And there's also like business rejection. A lot of times, if you view them the same way, you get right past them. Like, there's so much more opportunity than what you're currently dealing with. Literally, there's so much more opportunity than what you're currently dealing with. So if you get that out the way, the next opportunity will show up. But the longer you stay focused on an opportunity, is like this, I'm being rejected by something that I'm interested in. Okay, if this rejection is real, I have a responsibility to move on to the next. And that just is what it is, you know? Not every client says yes. Oh my God, you're rich, fresh. Wow, take all my money. You know? It doesn't work that way. A lot of them say, oh man, that's way too expensive. Like, how did you get this far to me? And you're telling me this is too expensive. You never should have gotten this far in the process. But sometimes people slip through the process. but I don't feel any kind of way. I say, well, hey, man, it's all good, you know? Just put a check with a check, holler back at me, or, you know what I'm saying, just keep following me on the gram. It's all right, because it's okay. There are more opportunities. I'm not being rejected. This person just says they can't do it. Mm. You know, if I'm trying to pursue somebody and they're rejecting me, they're not rejecting me. They're just like, they can't do it. It's not for them. Mm. Nothing wrong with me. It's just not for them. You know, you could bring me a brand new Kia. No disrespect, Kia. Please don't take no offense. You could bring me a brand new Kia. Shiny, I'm talking about shiny, and park it outside. and hand me the keys, say, fresh, here you go, baby. Oh, wait. Brand new, baby. There you go, baby. I'm going to say, hell no. What the fuck wrong with you? What am I going to do? He's like, no, it's your new car, bro. I bought you a brand new car. I was like, no, you didn't. No, bro. I ride foreign. You got Maseratis outside, bro. You can't pull up on it. What are you doing? There's nothing wrong with the vehicle. It just don't work for me. You know what I'm saying? And the same rules apply in personal and business. It's nothing wrong with you. It's just, it don't work for whoever you're pursuing in whatever aspect. So next, keep at it.
I like that because of what a lot of people actually do is they do take it personally. They think that the rejection is all about them, but really it's not. It could be the person that is actually rejecting them couldn't be the right timing. And if I was to like equal it to doing this, like getting guests on the show, it's like I don't take it personally if they say no to me. And I've learned now to turn those no's into not now. So it might be for later on. So you never know what's going to happen. So exactly. I love that piece of advice, man.
If you took it personal, you were like, you asshole, I can't believe you can't make it, man. You're a fucking scumbag. I'm not going to come on later.
Mm. It's not going to serve you.
No, but if you don't take it personal, you're like, well, look, I understand. Maybe we'll try again later. You know, like in the business aspect, you might just be catching someone where their money's low. They actually wanted the thing, but you just caught them when their money's low. They just paid out $10,000 in expenses you don't know about.
Yeah.
Oh, man, damn, do I really need this right now? Fuck, I really want it, but God, I just spent $10,000. Nah, man, you know what? It's a little bit too much for me right now. What they're really saying is, I don't have the money for the value that you offer.
Yeah.
I don't have enough money to match the value you offer right now. That's what they should be saying, but people don't say it that way. They say, because they don't want to say that they don't have no money. So they say, nah, man, I'm okay, I'll pass.
Well, I have a couple more questions for you, man. And this one is more of a fun one that I love asking people. You mentioned that you're vegan. So I'm curious, dude, like what has been the weirdest food combination you've ever tried?
Weirdest food combination I've ever tried.
Have
vegan
you like,
or just period in life or as a vegan?
In life, and then we can do as a vegan as well. Like, have you ever like you're smoking a joint and then all of a sudden you put something in your mouth that hasn't really agreed with you smoking a joint? Like that sort of stuff.
No, I've never done that. One time I cooked fish and I seasoned it with cinnamon sugar, and that was a tragedy. It was the worst thing I ever ate in my life.
What compelled you to put cinnamon sugar on fish?
I don't know. I have no idea what I was thinking. I didn't even use any salt. It was just all, it was terrible. It was so bad. I didn't even think about it.
Oh, man. Oh, that is so good.
It's so stupid.
Is it hard for you to be a vegan?
Nah, like living in LA, it's really easy. And because it's vegan stuff everywhere. And I cook some, you know, my family cooks and, you know, we got meal prep. So no, it's very easy.
Do you have a favorite food like with being vegan?
You know, I love white bean and kale soup. It's my favorite soup ever. Not pureed. I cannot do a pureed soup. I just, for some reason, I feel like baby food. I'm not going to eat baby food. I'm way too old to eat baby food. But yeah, white bean and kale soup. It's like my favorite thing ever.
Nice, man. So steering the conversation, because you did mention earlier how you're very proud of Henry Mask. Now, this mask, a lot of people would actually have seen it if you're following J-Lo and LeBron James because they've worn it. Michael B. Jordan as well, Doja Cat, Chrissy Teigen and Ellis Ross as well.
Just say everyone. It'll help you.
All the celebrities are wearing this mask. So Are they only available in America or can they get them everywhere in the world?
So right now they're available in all throughout America, obviously. They're available throughout parts of Canada, but we're working on like our global distribution because everyone wants these masks. And we really want to be able to get them to them. Because yeah, I mean, you know, all this naturally happened. Like we're not in contact with these big stars. We're not paying these big stars. We didn't even know that they had got them. But it's just the mask everyone found out about it, and they just said, oh, let's get those, you know? And so it's quickly grown into everyone's favorite mask everywhere, you know? I mean, we do have customers all over the world, but it's few and far.
Mm.
But everyone loves the mask. So I'm certain once it hits, you know, that space where it goes global, we're going to have a whole lot of happy faces.
Yeah, man. What's next for you? What's next for Fresh and the brand and your goals moving forward in the future?
I mean, I think we just touched on it. Taking Henry global, you know. Henry deserves to be a global brand, and we deserve this moment. So that's the big focus. Rich Fresh, you know, ready to wear. It's just time for ready to wear. It's time to put together something that people can enjoy, you know. So that will be rolling out on the 23rd of this month.
It's exciting, man. Like I've seen your work being adorned by all these people, and I didn't even know who was behind it. And then when I was sent your information, I was like, oh dude, what a talent, you know. And I've actually seen it all the way from Sydney, Australia, because I follow these kinds of celebrities, especially like, you know, you got LeBron James, who I'm a Dwayne Wade as well. Dwayne Wade can dress. And I've always been curious whether or not that's his style or whether he's been helped by somebody like yourself.
I mean, a lot of it's his style. Like he and his wife, they just have amazing style. They have a great style team as well. But they have amazing style.
Yeah, man. Is there someone that you really, really want to wear your mask or your clothing? Or you actually want to style yourself?
Gosh, you put me on the spot. I usually have that answer pretty mapped out. Drake, we're waiting on Drake. In terms of the mask, I mean, you know, I would love to see the Obamas wearing Henry masks. Yeah.
Well, if they end up listening to this, hopefully, well, I don't think they'll listen to it. We can wish, right? We can pray and say, God, please send this episode their way.
Stop. Got a wish for it, baby.
Love it, man. My final question for you, Fresh. This is my all-time favorite question. I ask all my guests at the very end. It's another hypothetical one, but I want you to imagine with me for a moment that you've been able to reach the age of 100. All your friends and your family have decided to put together a film for you of everything you've ever said and everything you've ever done. Then ask me how in the world they got it all. We'll call it magic for the sake of argument. They've been able to get it and show it to you on your 100th birthday. What do you want that film to say and to show about your life?
That I found my purpose and served it. You know, from the moment I found it, that I served it. And I helped to turn this family into a dynasty. And left a legacy for generations and just changed the entire trajectory of this family. That's it. You know, taught them how to be good people, do good things, helped as many people as possible. And got some real freedom, you know what I'm saying?
Simple, but effective and really powerful at the same time. Where can people find you, man, connect with you and learn more about you?
So you can go to my website. It's richfresh.com. You can also check me out on Instagram at richfresh. For Henry Mask, you can check us out at henrymask.com. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful selection of face masks. You can also check us out on Instagram at Henry Masks with an S at the end. That's on Instagram.
Check Epic, man. Love this conversation. Thank you so much for your journey, man. Everything that you've gone through and everything that you've learned along the way. And you're still going. There's still so much more for you. I see it. Just continue going, brother. Appreciate you so much. And thank you for coming on the Storybox podcast.
Great, fan. Appreciate you, baby.
I really don't like this part because it means that sadly we have come to an end of yet another story. I just want to say thank you to all of you for tuning in and listening to our guest today. It is my prayer that you would have felt inspired, motivated, challenged in some way, and that you would have learned something new as well. If you would like to hear more amazing stories like this one, you can do so now by searching up the Storybox on all podcast platforms. It is that easy. And if you did get something from today's guest, please do share it around with your friend or family member who you feel could benefit from hearing today's story. And before you go, I greatly appreciate it if you could spend 30 seconds leaving a rating review over on Apple Podcasts. It goes a long way to reaching more people and building this community of the Storybox. Let's start changing lives through powerful stories like this one you heard today. Your support is always greatly appreciated. Until next time, when we dive back into the Storybox, I'm Jay Phantom. And don't forget, your story is worth more than you know. I'll catch you then.